up, y'all? It's your girl Amber Latrice, and we are back at it for another Word and Wine, and I am so excited to dive into it with you today. Today we are pairing this Word and Wine with a beautiful 2017 Cab Sav. And let me tell you, it is delicious. And with this Cab Sav, we are about to get back into our miracle series with the Great Haul of Fish discussed in Luke 5. Some other versions title it as Jesus calling his first disciples. But we're about to get into it, and I'm so excited to see what the Lord has to say or show us today. So starting in Luke chapter 5 with verse 1. One day, as Jesus was standing at the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deeper water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boats to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. Wow. Every time we get into these miracles, my mind is just blown by the revelations that come in these words and in these passages of scripture. But first, starting with a recap, right? So in the beginning of this story, we have Jesus preaching, and he's getting a bit of a crowd, right? And he sees these boats over here, and he's like, okay, two empty boats, a bunch of people, let me go step out onto one and kind of, I guess, in some ways, create a stage or a place where people can centrally see and hear and like get a glimpse into what's going on. They can see everything. So he steps out onto one of the boats, right? And as he steps out onto these boats, he ends up choosing Simon's boat. And then he's like, "Hey, Simon, pull out a little bit so, you know, I can teach." So Simon complies and pushes out a little bit into water, and Jesus begins to teach from the boat. And when he's finished, he tells Simon to go out further. Like, this is so dope, because as we read the story, we know exactly what's getting ready to come next, right? We know that they're about to get the biggest haul. So when I read this, like, it makes me think about the importance of doing what you're supposed to do when you're supposed to do it, right? So if Simon had come in from that day's fishing exhibition, right, and not done what he was supposed to do, if he had come in and just left the nets, you know what, we didn't catch a lot, I'm just gonna leave the nets, I'm not gonna clean the nets, I'm not gonna mend the nets, I'm not going to do what I'm supposed to be doing with the tools that I have before me, if I'm not going to do that, then if I didn't really use them, and what's the point of honing the tools? What's the point of cleaning the tools? What's the point of mending the tool if nothing is really coming from it? But Simon knew that as a fisherman, he had to constantly keep his tools at the ready. So he had gone through the process of washing the net and mending the net and making sure the net was clean. And because he had done what he was supposed to do during the time when he was supposed to do it, he was prepared when Jesus said, "Go out into deeper water." He didn't have to say, "Oh, wait, Lord, let me go clean the boats real quick." When the opportunity presented itself, Simon was ready. And this blew my mind because even in this space, I'm learning that these times when I'm supposed to be honing my craft, these times when I'm supposed to be moving forward with whatever vision God has given me, these times that when God is speaking and I'm supposed to be getting up in obedience and practicing what it means to live life on a spiritual schedule, what it means to live life doing those things that He's called me to do, what it means to live life in a space of preparation so that when the opportunity presents itself, I'm prepared. Like, it's so cool because it reminds me of the importance of that. It reminds me how important it is to write when the Lord is saying, write. It reminds me of how important it is to even get here and speak into this microphone in this space where I'm not yet in front of a crowd, but people can still hear my voice. It reminds me of what is actually happening every time I get the opportunity to stand in front of the mic, every time I get the opportunity to create an animation, every time I get the opportunity to write a book, every time I get the opportunity to share the love and joy of Jesus Christ with whoever it is that I get to encounter. It reminds me that all of that is preparing me for that time when Jesus is like, you know what, Amber, it's time to pull into deeper water. Like, that scripture right there continuously blows my mind. And the next part also blows my mind because Simon is like, yo, we already did this, but if you say so, I will go ahead and go out. Like, it blows my mind because even in the midst of skepticism, Simon is still obedient. Like, I don't know about y'all, but I know I've had times when the Lord has told me to do something, and it may even be the same something that I've continuously done and done and done again to no avail. And even in the midst of skepticism, when I step out on that obedience, things begin to change because, you know what? I've come to this place of preparation, but now my time has come. Now Jesus is like, okay, you've been going out and you've been doing this and you've been honing your craft so long, it's time for the great haul. And it's super dope because, like, it literally says that he begins to catch so much that his nets start to tear. Like, he begins to haul in so much that his nets start to tear. Like, so we know that Simon is a fisherman, right? What we don't know is how long he's been working as a fisherman. What we know is that Simon is catching the greatest haul that he's ever seen while doing the exact thing that he has currently been called to do. So Simon has been in this space where he has been doing exactly what the Lord has called him to do. He has been operating in his vocation. He has been operating, let's even say, in his purpose, because we know further down the road, the Lord is like, yo, you still about to be a fisherman. You just gonna be fishing for something else. You know what I'm saying? Like, so he is operating in this space that he knows. He is gaining his expertise. He is investing in his 10,000 hours. He is focusing on the opportunities, gifting, and circumstance that God has already placed him in, doing that to the best of his ability. And when Jesus comes, he's prepared. So it's just another reminder of us, or at least to me, to focus on those spaces that God has placed me in, to focus on those spaces that God has given me domain and dominion over, like to focus on those gifts and talents that he has brought to the forefront, that he's telling me to walk freely in, so that when the time comes, because I do believe the time is coming. If y'all only knew how many pots I had on the stove waiting to boil, like, they're on, there's fire there. Something is going to cook. And when it cooks, we are all going to eat, which brings me to that next point in the scripture when he calls for his partners. Like, the haul is so big that it's not he's not operating in a space where he's the only one that can be blessed. In the space of his obedience and his preparation, his homies get blessed too. And then when his homies get blessed, it's not just like, okay, he called his homies over and they began to get some fish. No, they bring in a haul so great that both boats, not one boat, both boats become so full that they begin to sink. Because of his obedience in the midst of skepticism, a blessing in space of overflow is entered into that blesses everyone around him. Like, is that not amazing? Like, that's crazy to think that my obedience could mean freedom and deliverance for my family, to think that my obedience could mean a come up for my family, to think that my obedience could mean that my friends are able to better reach or better do whatever it is that they're called to do, to think that my obedience and my focus and my drive and my determination to be prepared for that time when it comes could result in a blessing that I don't even have room enough to receive. Like, could result in a blessing that creates so much overflow that everyone connected to me is in turn blessed. Like, that blows my mind. And for me, that gives me a new space of determination and motivation in doing what it is that God has called me to do. And in coming here and setting up my mic and getting on the mic to deliver whatever it is that I gain in a revelation when I'm studying whatever word, to sit down and study and do whatever word study or look at Greek transliteration and look at Hebrew transliteration, to study homiletics, to do all these things in this space of preparation. Because you know what? When Jesus says it is the time, the reward is greater than any sacrifice that we could have ever known. Because his sacrifice was greater than any sacrifice that we could have ever known. But that is a completely different message for a completely different time. Like, getting back to his friends, getting to operate in the overflow. Like, it makes me think about, like, a lot of these athletes and whatnot. I mean, you have LeBron James, and to all my sports fans, please do correct me if I'm wrong. But to my understanding, like, his agent, like, was once his homeboy, and now he has, like, other big names in the industry. Like, talking about, I was prepared and got to come up, and my homies got to come up too. Like, he's out here making moves himself. And how amazing and how beautiful is that when we get that opportunity to do what it is that we feel passionately about, to be in the space of preparation, and then to have a door open and to not only walk through it by ourselves, but to walk through it with our community. Like, that is so dope to me. And it's cool. And another thing that's cool is when Simon realized what had happened, he fell to his knees. Like, when he realized what had just happened, he immediately gave credit where credit was due. And a lot of times that's where we fall short. At least I know I've fallen short in that space. Like, it finally happens, and sometimes we forget to give credit where credit is due. Like, yes, fully hear that your yes matters. But also, yes, fully hear that when God shows up, we got to give him credit. Like, a lot of times we think more highly of ourselves than we should when God has called us to walk in humility. Now, the other side of that is that sometimes I do think we either fall into these spaces of false humility, or we also don't acknowledge that, you know what, in this space, God chose to partner with us. Like, there were two boats there. God stepped onto one of them. He chose to partner with Simon Peter in that time. And I'm sure commentaries say different things, and I'm sure people believe different things, but I refuse to believe that it was by happenstance that he stepped onto Simon Peter's boat. I refuse to believe that it was by happenstance that he gave me this call to missions. I refuse to believe that it's by happenstance that he's giving you a gift for writing. I refuse to believe that it's by happenstance that you are an amazing orator or an amazing singer. I refuse to believe that it's by happenstance that you blow people away in the realm of computer science and engineering and creativity and fill in the blank there. Like, he is choosing to intentionally partner with you. And in that space of being your intentional partner to create change, there comes this great haul and this great harvest that you have to be prepared for. And when that harvest and that great haul comes, you have to give that credit where that credit is due. We have to give that credit where that credit is due. And in the midst of giving that credit, it like says that Simon was in awe. And we most certainly know those moments. And if you feel like you don't know those moments, I invite you to really go back to God and say, you know what, Lord, can you bring back to memory a time when you left me in awe? Like, I can't tell you how many times he's left me in awe. In the space of partnering, getting to pray over somebody and witness him heal and be willing to partner with me in that process. Allow the words to flow from my mouth, but him to do all the work just leaves you in awe in a different space. Even the books and the, oh my goodness, I do a little bit of everything, like even the books and the areas of creativity and the areas of productivity that he moves in my life, like sometimes it just leaves me in so much awe because I know it's not me. Simon did nothing to make that catch happen other than be prepared and be willing to walk in obedience. That's all Simon did. All Simon did was give his yes and allow his yes to be all-encompassing. And we see that when Simon comes in, skipping ahead a little bit, and I'm going to continue to focus on Simon because I think there's a beautiful story told in the midst of Jesus and Simon's relationship. So we absolutely see that that yes was all-encompassing. We see the evidence that the yes was all-encompassing when he gets in, possibly from the greatest haul that he has ever seen. And I'm not just going to say possibly, probably from the greatest haul of fish that he has ever seen. And he decides that he is willing to leave the greatest haul that he has ever seen to follow the Lord. Like, I don't know how you can have a bigger yes than that. I'm willing to walk away from everything that I had. I just had this haul that would likely bring me into a place of financial gain that I have never known before. But instead of walking fully in that financial gain, I'm going to walk fully with what it is that God is calling me to, not knowing if that means financial gain, not knowing if that means security, not knowing exactly what that means in the world sense, but knowing that I can trust that unknown future to that known God. What does it look like for us to walk fully in our yes? What does that look like? What does it look like to walk fully in the giftings and to be willing to do whatever it is that God says do? No matter how many times we've already done it, no matter how much it doesn't make sense, no matter how much our friends or our family don't get it, what does it look like? What does it look like to walk freely in that? What does it look like to walk fully in our yes? This week, I have a very simple challenge. I want to challenge you to seek God and ask him, what is it that he's calling you to? What is God calling you to do? What does that yes look like for you? What is God calling you to do? What is that small thing that he's asking of you? And I've said this time and time again, is it waking up at 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning? is it reaching out to that one person that irritates you a little bit, but you know God is calling you to pour into their life? Like, let's be real. That is real life. Sometimes the people that God has called us to are not necessarily the people that we would be chosen to call to be called to. What is that yes? What is that yes that makes you a little bit uncomfortable? What place of skepticism is God calling you into where your obedience needs to outweigh your opinion, or your obedience needs to outweigh your skepticism? What is that small thing that you're supposed to be consistently doing that you're not? Or maybe that you are. What is it? What is it that God is calling you to do? And what does it look like to walk in obedience in that, remembering that sometimes that very small thing can lead to the greatest reward that you've ever seen? What does it look like to prepare for the reward? What does it look like to be prepared for the opportunity that leads to the reward? And in that space of preparation, what does it look like to give your unlimited yes? I want to thank you again for taking time to indulge in a taste of Word and Wine. I'll see you next week.